Good morning. Open your Bibles this morning to Jonah chapter 1. How many of you are familiar with the TV show Cops? It's easily recognizable by their theme song. Bad boys, bad boys. What you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? It came on the air back in 1989 and ran for 32 seasons, was canceled, and now has returned for season 33. If you haven't seen it, a camera crew follows police officers from different cities as they chase down criminals of every kind. It is truly a reality TV show. We have a lot of reality TV shows today on our TV, but this is truly a reality TV show, showing these officers dealing with everything from drug possessions, prostitution, breaking and entering, and many other crimes. A frequent occurrence on the show are suspects knowing they're about to be caught running from the police. Sometimes a car crash ensues, and other times it is a chase on foot. People are running away because they don't want to face the consequences of their actions. Lots of people spend their whole lives running from God in the same way a fugitive runs from police. They are convinced God is out to get them. They don't want to face God. They don't want to talk to God. They don't even want to take time to think about God. They want nothing to do with Him. Others know God, but they run away from the plans He has for their life. They have even worshipped Him, but now they are heading in a different direction. Sometimes they find themselves running from God's will for their lives because it is His will and not their own. This was the case in the life of Jonah. Perhaps Jonah is the most striking biblical example of a man trying to run away from God. Most of us, at least somewhat familiar with this story. We're going to begin looking at that story this week and going through the entire book of Jonah over the course of this month. The question that we must ask ourselves is this. As we examine Jonah's attempt to running away from God and the attempts we have made to follow in his footsteps is this. Can running away from God really be justified? Or to put it in a different way, why would a person run from God? Today, from the first three verses of Jonah's, let's learn some answers about running from God. In the book of Jonah, chapter 1, if you'll stand with me, and let's read verses 1 through 3. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for the wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to bring your word this morning. We pray, Father, that you would strengthen me. Give me the power to preach. Give me the will to preach. Give me the unction to preach your word. And Father, remind me that you are my guide, you are my leader, and I pray, God, that you'll fill me with your spirit to give me the power to preach this morning, for it's in Jesus' name I ask it all. Amen. We can learn from the story of Jonah, and how can we use what we learn to draw closer to God? Well, first of all, we want to look at running from God's voice. Look in verses 1 through 2. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. Now why did Jonah take off running from God? That is the good question. It was when he heard the voice of God speaking to him. Verse 1 clearly tells us that this message came from the Lord. Throughout the Bible, you'll find God's voice is not easily mistaken. After Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, they could hear God's voice call out to them, Wherefore art thou? In Exodus 19, Moses clearly heard God calling to him to the top of the mountain. In Judges 2, the Israelites heard God's voice rebuking them for their disobedience, and they wept aloud. In Isaiah 6, God revealed himself to Isaiah. It was a day Isaiah would never forget. And in the gospel accounts, we find the reaction to the words of the God-man, Christ Jesus, to be no less potent. When Jonah heard the word of the Lord, he ran as fast as his legs would take him. This is the kind of response we would expect from a lost person, but Jonah was a prophet of God. Listen, God had called Jonah to be a prophet, to deliver his word to the people of Nineveh. But what did he do? He ran. He ran as fast as his legs would take him to get away from God. Many of us in this church today have ran from God at one time or another. God has called us to be a witness to someone, and we've ran from that opportunity. God has called someone to preach the word of God, but they ran from him. Listen, I experienced this in my own life. I ran from God from the time I was 16 years old when I was saved, when God started calling me to preach. I ran until I was 26 years old, when God finally called me into the ministry. I could feel God's Spirit calling me to something more than salvation at the age of 16. But I did not listen to His Word. I did not listen to Him. I refused to give in to that call until I was 26 years old. And then, at that moment in time when God called me, I began to give Him every excuse why I could not do that. I begin to give him every excuse why I could not preach his word. I begin to give him every excuse why I was not capable of doing what he had called me to do. And my friend, I want to tell you something. When I gave God that every excuse, I told him I could not preach his word. I did not have the knowledge to preach His Word. I did not have the motivation to preach His Word. I did not have the experience to preach His Word. And I was too shy. If you'll ask my wife, she'll tell you that I was the shyest person you would ever meet. I could not stand in front of people and speak to people. But you know what God told me? You know what He expressed to me? He told me this down in my spirit. It is not about what you can do, my child. It is what I can do through you. God called me to preach at the age of 26, and I surrendered my life to the God that called me because He told me He would equip me to do everything. Can I tell you this? Can I express this to you this morning? If God calls you to do something, He'll equip you to do it. God has never called anyone that it is not equipped them to do the work of God. Listen, my friend, if God calls you, He will put the words in your mouth. He'll give you the Spirit to preach and teach. He will call you and He will equip you to do the job He has called you to do. Listen, my friend, when Jonah heard the word of the Lord, what did he do? He ran as fast as his leg would take him. This is the kind of response we would expect from a lost person. But Jonah, as I've said, was a prophet of God. He should not have run from God. He should have stayed there and listened to God and done what God called him to do. Listen, most lost people I know who are truly running from God have definitely heard from God. They have come close enough to the Holy Spirit's conviction to know that uncomfortable feeling of realizing their own sin and lost condition. And when the Holy Spirit convicts them, sometimes they try to run away from that conviction. A pastor once said, "Once I was standing in my kitchen, I heard some neighbor boys filling up our kids' little plastic swimming pool in our backyard. They were having wrestling matches in the pool. I opened the door, and they all run away. I'm sure if I'd asked why did they run away, they'd have said this. It was the only thing we could think to do. Listen, many people today are running from God. Many of you in this church may have been running from God. Maybe God's called you to be a witness. Maybe God's called you to teach a Sunday school. Maybe God has called you to be a missionary. But you've run from God. The most dangerous word in the English language is the word but. But I can't do it. But I'm not equipped. But I am not able to do the work you've called me to do. God has never called anyone that he would not equip. Most lost people are running from God because they think he opened the door on them and caught them doing something wrong. They are running, but like the boys we just talked about, they really don't know why. I've had some old friends that find themselves in that position. They want nothing to do with the Bible. They want nothing to do with the church. They want anything to do to remind them that there is a God out there that loves them, that wants them to be saved. They are men and women who are running from God. Now, running from God might be understandable in people who aren't in a relationship with him. But what do we do about a man like Jonah? People who have professed the Lord as their God. Perhaps he was a unique case. Perhaps he was one in a million. Surely most believers never run from God. Surely you and I never run from God. Surely the church never runs from God. Or perhaps, if you want to be honest with each other, we would admit that there are times when we all of us have ran from God at one time or another. When God's Holy Spirit convicts us of something we should not be doing, but do it anyway, is that not running from God? When the Holy Spirit convicts our hearts toward action and we walk out of the worship hour only to forget about it, is that not running from God? Conviction is always painful because it means there must be a change in our lives. In Jonah's case, it meant giving up a lifelong prejudice and hate for the people of Nineveh. It meant realizing that God cared for those people just like he did for the people of Israel. God's love and Jonah's hate created an inconsistency that could be resolved if Jonah was willing to change. But remember, change is hard. Change is painful. Many of us does not like to be changed. We are stuck in our traditions. We're stuck in a way we do things, and we don't want to change. We give God the excuse. But we might not be equipped. But we might not say the right words. But we might not do the right things. Listen, my friend, remember, change is hard and painful. We find most Christians are just like Jonah. We find it much easier to run from the strong conviction of the Holy Spirit than it is to allow him to change us for the better. And if this pattern of running is established with a person new in their faith, it is a pattern that tends to take hold and not want to let go. But certainly, the truth applies. Whether Christian or non-Christian, the person who is running from God is a person who has heard from God. Listen, just like Jonah, we run away. Just like Jonah, we run from our conviction. Just like Jonah, we don't do what God has called us to do. Many of you in the church today have ran from God. Secondly, we want to look at running from God's plan. The word of the Lord has come. Jonah had no doubt as to what God wanted him to do. But notice verse 3. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, went down in it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Notice this word. Notice this word begins with a conjunction of contrast. The word but. God said go to Nineveh, but Jonah decided he would do something else. How many times is it possible to look into the face of a lost person and see potential leaders for the cause of Christ? Christ says, go for me, but they run away from God and his way. Such a man was Jesus. When we know him as the rich young ruler, he came saying, good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said, keep the commandments. He said, I have done that. Jesus said, one thing ye lacked. Go sell all that you have and give it to the poor and come and follow me. The Bible then says, he went away sad because he had great wealth. He was close to becoming a Christian, but he was almost saved, but he was almost committed, but he was almost going to, but he never did. It makes no difference what follows the conjunction but. The word but alone, in response to God's will for our lives, marks a spirit that is contrary to allowing God to take control of us. The sad thing about billy goat Christians, those who are always budding, is that God's plan for us is what we will make us truly happy. Someday, the tables may be turned on us, and God will say, here is what I have planned for your life, but. Here is what I have planned for your church, but. If we could remove this conjunction of contrast from our lives, we would see the will of God being carried out like never before. Notice again that verse 3 says, but Jonah. No one made the decision for him. Jonah alone was responsible for his actions. If we choose to reject God's will for our life, you alone are responsible for that decision. If we choose to reject God's will for our church, we can't go blaming anyone else. We are responsible for our own decisions. We are responsible to God if we say, but I can't do it. Notice that everything Jonah did was the opposite of doing God's will. Most translators record that Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish. God's will is never accomplished by first rising up. When the word of the Lord comes to you, you must first bow down. Jesus bowed in Gethsemane and said, not my will, but thine be done. He could have risen up, but he bowed down. If you have heard God speak to your life, you may be like Jonah. You may have risen up and walked away. You, like Jonah, may think you can escape from God, but the Bible tells us that at that time, that at that name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, of things under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Don't rise up to flee from God. Bow down and accept him as Lord and Savior of our life. We all have places where we think we can escape God. It may be your favorite place to go, in the closet. You may think you can escape from God, but there is no escape from God's presence. Listen, a place where you can go is calling to escape from God's voice. We have places where we think we can escape from God. We have our own personal Tarshish. Where do you go to escape from the Lord's presence? It doesn't have to be a bar or your favorite restaurant. It could be a golf course or a tennis court. It could be enjoying a good book or going shopping. Not that there is anything wrong with any of these things and in themselves, but many times we get so busy with ourselves doing things simply to get away from doing what the Lord wants us to do. Are there things in your life that you get so busy with yourself, with your sole purpose of getting out of doing God's will? Are there times in your life when you would like to leave God behind because He wouldn't approve of where you're going? When I was growing up, I was often left behind. I was the younger of two brothers. My brother was 16 months older than me. But let me tell you something, my friend, I often got left behind from his presence. I often got left behind by the things he wanted to do. Sometimes we treat God as if we're the youngest child and don't include him in our plans. But there is no escaping from the Lord. The psalmist rightly records for us, "Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I go from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy right hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me." No one can ever escape from God by running. God is ever present. God is omnipresent. He's always with us. He always sees us. He will never leave or forsake us. He's always there in our presence. Thirdly, running from God's presence. Notice verse 3 again. "But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." When Jonah entered the ship, we find he had to pay a fare to get a ride. Satan doesn't like us to notice things like that. You really can't choose to run from God like Jonah, but be aware it will cost you. Those who travel on Satan's road must pay Satan's toll. Jonah had to pay a lot more than a measly fare to ride on that boat. He had to pay with a guilty conscience. He had to pay with a loss of self-respect. He had to pay by having no more direction in his life. He had to pay with a constant realization that he was on the run from a God who loved him, who is in all places at all times. When you are running from God, you're headed for stormy water with no anchor to hold you down. The winds of storms of life will toss you in every direction. Life will always get the best of you instead of you getting the best out of life. Jonah paid dearly for his effort to run from God. It was a miserable experience, a miserable existence for him from start to finish, and that's putting it mildly. He could never be satisfied until he came back to God. And can I tell you this? You will never be satisfied until you run back to God. The same is true for you and I. If we're running from God, you will never be satisfied until we turn back to Him. Listen, my friend, this is the way that we see Jonah acting. Jonah ran from God, and I would say many of you today are running from God. Many of you today have got a call from God. Maybe it's to be a witness for Him. Maybe it's to preach His Word. Maybe it's to teach a Sunday school class. But you said, but I don't want to give up my job. But I don't want to trust you. But I don't want to do the things you've called me to do. Listen, God has never called anyone that He did not give them the ability to do the work He has called them to do. Listen, what is it like to run from God? It's like this. A hurried and frustrated individual entered the office of a travel agent and said, "I want to take a trip and I don't know where or how long it takes." "Where would you like to go?" the travel agent asked. "Anywhere, it doesn't matter. You see, I'm mainly interested in getting away from myself for a while." How ridiculous that would be, trying to escape from ourselves. Yet, it is just that ridiculous to try to run away from God. Everywhere you go, there He is. Every step you take, God is with you. Every step you take, God is by your side. Every step you take, God is there watching over you, leading you to do the things He has have you to do. Listen, Jonah tried to run away from God, but God found him. Adam and Eve tried to run away from God, but God found them. All through the Scripture, we find people trying to run away from God, but God found them. And I'm here to tell you today, you may run from God, but God will find you. If you refuse to do what God has called you to do, the Bible is very clear. God will give that skill, He'll give that experience, He'll give that job to someone else. He calls you to a purpose and a plan. But if you refuse to do that, He'll give that gift to someone else and call them to do that job. God has never called anyone that He did not give them the willingness, the experience, the knowledge, and the spirit to fulfill His will. Let me tell you something, my friend. Jonah, and many of us are like him, could not run away from God. And let me tell you something. You cannot run away from God. God is there. God is with you. God is omnipresent. So you can't run away from His will. You cannot run away from what He has called you to do. Remember what the psalmist David said. "Whether shall I go from thy spirit?" Or, in other words, "Where can I go to hide from you?" Or, "Whether shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me." Listen, God is always an ever-present being in our lives through the Holy Spirit. And that same Holy Spirit will lead you, direct you, and help you to do what He has called you to do. Listen, my friend, you may be running from God. You may think you're successful in running away from Him. You may think you're enjoying life running away from Him. But listen very carefully to me, my friend. There's a cost from running from God. There's a cost from running from His presence. He will find you, and He will bring you back to Him. The rich young ruler tried to run away from God. He almost found salvation, but not quite. I remember the king that told Paul, "Almost thou hast persuaded me to become a Christian." Listen very carefully, my friend. He never received Jesus as Lord of his life. Why? Because he thought he could make it to heaven on his own. Many Jews today think they can make it to heaven because they're Abraham's seed. But let me tell you something. Without a relationship with Jesus, they'll never make it to heaven. Without a relationship with Him, they'll never find an eternal rest in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have to bring your word this morning. We pray, Father, that it has been presented in a way that's understandable, that people can grow in their faith and learn that they cannot run away from you so far that you cannot find them. We ask you, Lord, that you'll bless this message, bless the invitation, for it's in Jesus' name I ask it all. Amen.